This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200-plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Welcome back. And last hour, we were discussing the shocking revelation that over 40 million Americans are actually receiving SNAP benefits. And the news that started the week was, or the weekend, was that the benefits were going to expire. And then as more details came about who that affected and who was taking these benefits, that actually became the true scandal. That's an eighth of the American population. It's just staggering numbers of people that are receiving these benefits. And of course, there are people that actually need these benefits, that are in terrible situations, that could go hungry. At the same time, there are lots of charities that can help those folks. Now, whether those charities can do enough, whether we need government assistance to fill in the space in between, all those things are up for debate. However, I think everyone can agree that there is loads of abuse and fraud in the system, and that 40 million out of 340 million people total in the population, that's just ludicrous. That is the working class and working Americans funding a whole lot of people who should just get a job. And that's just a harsh reality. And by the way, you dig into it, as I read at the top of the last hour, that they did a study in the three households headed by native-born Americans or U.S. citizens, headed by legal immigrants who are legal residents, and by illegal immigrants. And of those three categories, shockingly, over half of legal immigrants to this country are receiving welfare. Over half. The native-born population was in the 30s. Still too high, by the way, but 30s compared to over half. And then the illegal immigrant households were even higher than the legal immigrants, the highest portion receiving benefits. That's the true scandal here. That's what everybody should be talking about. And we're in a shutdown. Why is the shutdown happening? Because the Democrats want all of those benefits and more for illegal immigrants and legal and everybody. We should be rolling back the benefits, not expanding them. Illegal immigrants should get no benefits. They should be picked up by ICE and sent home. And legal immigrants, under federal law, you're not supposed to be allowed to come here if you're going to be a drain on the system. How are we missing it over half of the time? All valid questions. Well, here in South Carolina, you know, we're red-controlled, we're Republican-controlled. All of our three main policy branches, the governor, the House, and the Senate, three political branches controlled by Republicans. We're a supermajority. And I'm speaking right now from Greenville, South Carolina, talking to the upstate. One of the most conservative areas in the country. Did you know that? And a couple days ago, one of our representatives from up here, actually from Pickens County, which arguably, people argue with this, me about this all the time, they say Pickens is actually the most conservative county. Well, because you know, if you look at statistically, they voted the most for Trump. And I always laugh out loud when somebody tells me that, because if you think Pickens is conservative, look at who you elect to send to the legislature, specifically the House of Representatives. You have the worst Republicans in the legislature representing you, barring Thomas Beach, who represents just a part of it, of Pickens, and who is a Freedom Caucus member and who's one of the best down there. The other one's abysmal. And one of your representatives from Pickens, from right here in good old South Carolina in the upstate, Representative Neil Collins took to Twitter over the weekend and posted that he just wants a government that works. Due to the federal government shutdown, 9,600 people in Pickens County and 266,000 people in the state may suddenly be without their SNAP food credits in November. That's 7% of our neighbors in this county, probably around 5,000 are children. I know if the federal government shutdown stretches into November, churches and community will try to fill the gaps, but gaps will exist. Children will be hungry, and all of it a creation by politicians unable to govern. So up until now, I'm agreeing with most of what he's saying. I still think that we should also caveat that while this is a tragedy and children are going to go hungry and churches absolutely need, we all need to step up. By the way, go donate to your local food pantry or your local charity today. We should also recognize that, wow, that's a lot of people on SNAP in Pickens County, and maybe we should figure out and make sure that that number should be that amount, because that's a suspiciously high number. But then he goes on further, and I actually even agree that, yes, in fact, this is created by politicians unable to govern. But then he finishes it. This is a Republican, ladies and gentlemen, from Pickens. He says, I don't care which party to blame. I'm part of the segment that doesn't care about political theater until it negatively impacts our community. Who cares who's to blame? Who knows who's to blame, right? I mean, it's just all of these politicians who create this theater. I'm one of the ones that doesn't care. I just am in it for the people. What complete, holier-than-thou, inane drivel from an elected Republican? He doesn't know or care who to blame for the shutdown. Well, actually, the shutdown is happening because Democrats refuse to pass the same bill that they've passed in the past that already has too much funding for these benefits that are going to illegal immigrants and non-citizens and whether the fraud, waste, and abuse. But he doesn't know who to blame. In fact, basically, who gives a rip? Republicans just as much as Democrats. Mr. Collins is one of the worst Republicans in South Carolina, rated objectively from different conservative groups. In fact, the average Republican, quote unquote, in the South Carolina House GOP caucus has a 27% when ranked by Club for Growth, one of the leading conservative groups. Average Freedom Caucus member, by the way, has a 96%. Average Republican caucus, of which Mr. Collins is part, 27%. And average Democrat, by the way, has a 17%. So the average quote-unquote Republican rhino, if you will, is way closer to the Democrats than the actual conservatives. And Mr. Collins has, I believe, the worst objective ranking of conservatives in the South Carolina House. Pickens, do better. If I was in Pickens, I would be ashamed. And I actually think rightfully so. Do better. Actually find conservatives. Find people who actually recognize who's to blame for government shutdowns. People who will support the president. People who recognize that people will go hungry because Democrats are the ones shutting it down. And you need to speak that and educate that and promote that so that we can actually fix the problem and force them to find a resolution that can feed the kids and fix the waste and abuse. If you're one of these do-nothing rhinos who doesn't even understand basic conservative principles, just switch parties already. And Pickens, please, please vote better. Coming up next, Democrats and moderates try to tamper in South Carolina Republican primaries. You won't want to miss this. This is Adam Morgan in for Bill Frady, News Talk 98.9 WRD, Voice of the Carolinas. Welcome back. And we left off talking about some of the local shenanigans happening in our very own Republican primaries right here in the upstate. If you missed it, there was a big election last Tuesday for state House and state Senate. And in that election, specifically the state House election, you had four candidates. So four people put their names on the ballot, and you had four different options. And really, three of the candidates all had conservative connections. Different, if you look at who was supporting them, different conservatives in the upstate supported these three candidates. And then one of them was pretty obviously more establishment, didn't really have any conservative support. And in this primary, various groups got heavily involved. And one of the candidates, Diane Mitchell, who was the head of the Republican women's group here in Greenville and has been a fierce conservative advocate over the years. She was one of the leading voices for the Save Women's Sports Bill, one of the leading opponents of the Scout Motors $1.8 billion taxpayer handout to the private company to make electric vehicles. She got a whole group down to fight against that bill, which unfortunately passed. She's been a strong advocate of conservatism and supporter of the Freedom Caucus. She received an immense amount of negative ads. I mean, hit piece after hit piece after hit piece on the mail, in the mailbox, on text messages. It was really shocking. I mean, not shocking for Freedom Caucus members, because that's actually pretty normal for all of us. We normally get hate mail. But for a candidate who isn't in the Freedom Caucus, she did tell everybody she would join. I think that's it. The moment you accidentally tell people that you're going to go in and align with conservatives and be conservative, that's the minute that they're going to throw everything they can against you. Or maybe it was just they knew her track record. So she gets all this hate mail. The other candidate, Steve Nail, had some connections to pro-life groups and some other conservative activists. You had Jack Stott, who had been really active in the Greenville Young Republicans, also very connected to a lot of conservatives. So you have these three candidates, and then you had Reggie Batson. Now, Reggie Batson, if you look at his support, really it was hard to tell who was who. But you knew, based on track record and at least who was supporting them, that there were probably three more conservative options and one more establishment. Well, then this video went viral of a Democrat operative here in Greenville and an organizer of the local No Kings protest. And he had this to say about what to do in last – this is a Democrat – about what to do in last week's Republican primary.
Hey, y'all. Hope you had a good week. Just a reminder, go vote on October 21st in these Republican special election primaries. It's very important. Anybody can vote. So I'm urging Democrats, independents, Republicans – somewhere.
Democrats, go vote.
Between however you identify, open primaries are an opportunity for us to show what we stand for, to express ourselves, and to use the power that we have to elect people, the best people of the bunch, who will go down to Columbia and represent our interests. I don't align with any of the candidates ideologically. However, these are the choices that we have. And until we can continue to build up some democratic infrastructure in ways that we can run competitive races in some of these districts, these open primaries are an incredible opportunity for us to show that we have influence and we actually can decide these races.
An incredible opportunity for us Democrats to decide these races. We need to take this opportunity to meddle in the Republican primary and vote for candidates are basically the least bad. Let's not get those crazy conservatives. Let's make sure we get someone that's a little more aligned with our values.
Particularly when they don't want us doing so. And so go vote on October 21st. House District 21, I'll be voting for Reggie Batson.
Reggie Batson. I'm not surprised. I already told you. I kind of knew that he was probably the more establishment candidate. But this was on Reddit. They were pushing this. Get out and vote. You got to vote against this. And some of them were motivated against candidates, like specifically against Diane. Same thing in the governor's race. They're saying get out and vote against Ralph Norman. Whatever you do, make sure he doesn't get in the governor's mansion, because he might actually do what he's running on, and that terrifies the Democrats. Open primaries, they are a cancer to our system. By the way, they undermine election integrity, in my opinion. And in fact, in March of 2022, let's roll back some history, That was the first time that we actually got a clear vote. We put an amendment on a bill that they finally pushed something that had to do with election and elections through the House. So we threw this amendment up that would have closed the primaries. This is in 2022. And what happened? How did the legislature, Republican-controlled House vote? 88 tabled the amendment, voted it down, and only 27 said, no, 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 we should actually take this up and pass it. You might not be surprised to find out that most of the people that voted against it were Freedom Caucus or Family Caucus members and who voted to actually take it up and try to pass it. And all the ones that voted to kill it were the establishment Republicans and the Democrats. So, and I posted back then, did we close the primaries today? Yes. Today was the first time since I was elected that we had a chance. This is arguably key conservative reform that would finally dismantle the good old boy system. Those in red supported closed primaries because they were voting against the tabling motion, and those in green voted to kill this needed legislation. And I just happened to find that last night, and I thought, how ironic that we could have fixed this problem, but everyone was shocked that Republicans, established Republicans, voted it down. And they were shocked. Well, hold on. Let's fast forward to last week when a bombshell came out that the SC House GOP caucus meddled in this primary, the one we're talking about. And of those four candidates, Nail, Mitchell, Stott, and Batson, just guess, who did the South Carolina House GOP caucus support? Well, the majority leader, Davey Hyatt, another Pickens native. By the way, once again, Pickens, I can't pick on you guys enough. How do you elect these people? I don't understand. The worst of the worst. And I guess maybe all the Pickens Democrats, if there are any, are voting for him. Or people just are not paying attention. Well, another one of your natives, Davey Hyatt, who we'll hear from a little bit more later in the show, he went on the record with the state newspaper and admitted that the House GOP caucus was backing Batson, the Democrat-preferred, Democrat-picked candidate. That's who they got behind. And in fact, Representative Bruce Bannister's law firm right here in Greenville, he's the head of Ways and Means, represents an area right by downtown Greenville. He was one of the big donors. His law firm was one of the big donors to Batson. What is the Republican caucus doing meddling in primaries, open primaries, at all? And more telling, why are they supporting moderates and Democrat preferred candidates? And by the way, maybe you have one of those squishy guys who's somewhere around here who they're not really in. They refuse to join the Freedom Caucus. Maybe they've even backed out and left the Family Caucus, because if you didn't know that happened, a bunch of them turned on the Family Caucus now, but they're still in the Republican. They say, oh, well, I don't really push all that liberal stuff like those other Republican caucus members. Well, guess what? They pay dues into this group, and this group then goes and pushes the same candidate as the Democrats in a four-person race. So why don't you contact your representative and ask them, are they in the Republican caucus, the House caucus? And if they are, were they aware that they were supporting the liberal Democrat preferred candidate? Were they okay with their dues going to support that? This is just blatant, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to do better as a Republican Party. And by the way, earlier we talked about SNAP benefits and we talked about election integrity. All this ties together with a major South Carolina issue. Do we have non-citizens voting in South Carolina elections? What's going on? Did you know there were arrests earlier this week or last week? The commissioner for the election commission, the director, was arrested. Did you know that? Well, we're going to talk about that when we come back. Don't go anywhere. This is Adam Morgan in for Bill Frady on News Talk 98.9 WORD. Oh, sorry. I might have moved it. Sorry. I keep moving it. Welcome back. So a texter asked me about the closed primary vote and when was that and how their representative voted. They had a Freedom Caucus member, so your member, I believe every single one of them, voted together and voted to try to pass the amendment, and it was offered by a Freedom Caucus member. So what you have to recognize is that there's so many of these amendments. We're going to talk later about the whole issue with the director of the election commission in South Carolina who was just fired and then arrested. And a Freedom Caucus member there, Rob Harris, had filed a bill to require all of their meetings to be live streamed. That was voted down by basically every member except for members of the Freedom Caucus because they are forced to vote against anything that is Freedom Caucus. If that bill had passed, all of the shenanigans that happened with Howard Knapp and the Election Commission would have come to light a lot sooner, and we'd have better evidence to deal with it. And so that was the same thing here with the closed primaries. And I would argue that's the point. They don't want to close the primaries because people like Neil Collins in Pickens, he would never get elected if he wasn't going around begging and sending out flyers and mailers and pushing in every way he could to get every Democrat, the few that are there, to show up and vote for him. I mean, he's barely won re-election two different times back to back. I mean, he's not popular among conservatives, but unfortunately, people just don't care enough to show up and vote these blatant rhinos who don't understand basic conservative issues. They don't vote him out. And so, of course, they don't want to close the primaries. That's why they coalesce together. And yes, in fact, that picture, that was the first time when I posted that and said, did we close the primaries? Yes. And I posted the picture and explained who voted what way. I immediately got called to the principal's office. I was still relatively new, and I got flack and was told, why are you posting that kind of stuff that makes other Republicans look bad? And I was like, huh? Like the public voting board? And if you're a student of what's happened in the State House, you know full well that in the long run, that became a huge issue. And in fact, we were told if you don't sign a pledge to no longer campaign against or call out other members in the Republican primary for how they vote, if you share public pictures of the voting board, if you talk about how people vote that might make them look bad, if you don't sign a pledge to never do that again, you are kicked out of the Republican caucus. They put that in front of us, and 16 of us said, absolutely not. I'm not. Are you kidding? Like, we're a Republican supermajority. If I can't call out the people who are destroying this state and funding our own demise and bringing all these liberal policies here and, you know, covering for liberals, what's the point? How, like, of course I have to call out. Well, we said no. They kicked us out of the Republican caucus. So if you're in the upstate, you likely have a representative, especially from Greenville. Majority of them have been kicked out of the caucus. So they are no longer, they have no voice in the Republican caucus. If you didn't know that, welcome. Yeah, if you have a good one, they have likely been kicked out and are not in it. And this was the first time, it was closed primaries, was the first time that I personally got major pushback. Now, my seatmate at the time, Josiah Magnuson, he regularly got picked on, which is why, once again, he's one of the best guys down there, because he would just literally just take pictures of the voting board and post them. And I didn't realize he was evidently getting a lot of pressure to stop doing that. And the point is, the public should know exactly how their representatives are voting. And the idea that posting a picture that tells you how they're voting is campaigning against and is somehow bad behavior is ludicrous. And by the way, that was the pro tem leading Republican figure who told us that, and then who later gave a speech explaining that we shouldn't do that and that was bad behavior. So that's where the real fight is, and it's you know, we've got to take back our state. Well, we have a guest on the phone, right? You said one. So we talked about the District 21 race and mentioned Diane Mitchell and Steve Nail and the others. They are the two that are in the runoff that's coming up November 4th, I believe. And Steve Nail has called in. Steve, are you there? Can you hear me?
I am here, Adam, and thank you for having me on the show. I listened with interest to your last segment and also the one that you just did. I can't agree with you more in really every respect. And when I think about the Freedom Caucus, and I know, you know, I take my hat off to you for, one, getting this thing going. I mean, nobody in their right mind that's truly believes in the democratic process and representing their constituents would sign the freedom, the loyalty pledge.
We could rename it that. I'm sure that's what the House Caucus would call it. It's a freedom pledge. It's freedom of input. That's exactly how they would spit it. But yeah, no, the crony pledge is what we call it.
I just gave them a good idea. But yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, I can't even believe that we have a supermajority that would incorporate that into, their platform there. But I think, you know, the other thing that I worry about is, you know, we've got open primaries. Obviously, that's a problem. We need to close those as quickly as possible. And I'm sure that either Ms. Mitchell or myself would be voting for that. Also, I'm a big believer, and I know that not all the Freedom Caucus people believe this, but I do. I think I'm a strong believer in term limits as well. I think we need those two things to help clean up the legislature quite a bit. And I was concerned, too, when I saw that video last week or heard it. I actually saw that or heard it on the Tara show last, I think it was Monday morning at about 8:35. She played that, and I thought, wow. And then I know there were other messages coming out allegedly from Democrats urging, you know, to vote for, you know, for Diane Mitchell or somebody else, whatever. But to me, I mean, you know, you got to think about it. I had almost 40% of the vote last week, and I have no clue how many Democrats voted in that primary. And it wouldn't take very much or very many of them to dilute that vote down to 40%. I may have actually gone over 50% had Democrats not been voting in the special election. And we may not be having the vote next week, but because you've got Democrat interference. And I can tell you, and I'm sure this is true for all the candidates or if they pay any attention to it, when you go out and door knock, and as you know, you've got, you know, there's apps and everything else that you can use, and there's research, so you can tell if people are high probability voters in special primaries and primaries. And I cannot tell you how many times I came across people that voted in almost every primary, Republican primary, and they're Democrats.
Same thing happened when I door knocked, and it's infuriating because you're like, well, why are you voting in every Republican primary?
And to do exactly what you talked about earlier, so they can have the least offensive candidate in office, which is just appalling to me. It's absolutely appalling.
It's effective because if you watch what goes on at the State House, the lead opponents to the conservatives are Rhino Republicans. They're the ones who carry all the water. They're the ones who do all the speeches, the shenanigans, they're the ones that push to change House rules to make it so that only the majority leader and the minority leader, two people, can pick which amendments go forward for legislation. I mean, just fundamentally altering our system so people can't even, your representative wouldn't have the ability to change legislation. That was last year, and they're trying to bring that back again this year. And that's why, in my opinion, the main fight here is who is willing to go against the establishment and who is going to become a part of the establishment. I'm very glad to hear that you won't sign the pledge. I think that's fantastic. I think it speaks very well for both you and Diane. My question for you is, what will you do with the Freedom Caucus and the Family Caucus? Are you, because I've heard you will join or you may join. What is your answer to those questions on those two caucuses?
Yeah, I think, well, obviously we've got to win the election first. I've said many times, I've said for probably, well, as long as I ever knew about the loyalty pledge, I've said there's no way I will sign the loyalty pledge. And so I know you have to be invited to be in the Freedom Caucus, and I would be honored if they would invite me to join, but you have to be elected first, I'm very much more in alignment with them and the caucus, their caucus, and the way they vote. And like I said, in some respects, I'm sure I'm more conservative because a lot of them don't believe in, or some of them don't believe in term limits. And I know a number of the Freedom Caucus members They're good folks, and I like them, and I like talking to them about, obviously, policy matters and things like that. So I think I've got government experience, I've got education, higher ed experience, I've got big corporation experience, I've got my own business that I've owned for 15 years. So I've got a breadth of experience and knowledge that I could bring, and I think actually help the legislature and the Freedom Caucus move forward and get us further down towards the goal line, which is where we need to be in conservative politics.
Well, I can definitely say it's a blessing to have two conservative candidates who won the runoff and are in the runoff. That is a huge blessing for the voters, I know. And would it be the same answer for the Family Caucus that you would likely join or would join them?
Yes, I think it would be, honestly, I think it would be between those two, because those are most aligned with my personal belief system and
most are in both. And I think every Freedom Caucus member is in the Family Caucus. And then, I don't know, maybe there's a few, but I think generally the Freedom Caucus, it's not that they're against term limits, it's that until we have term limits intact, something I push for them, a lot of them kept wanting to retire. I'm like, guys, we can't have half of the Freedom Caucus retire every single time because they've served four terms when the establishment hacks are in there for 40 years. Like, until we actually change the law, running, because we can't lose. So I get the tension there, but I agree. Completely support term limits. 8 to 10 years, probably a good amount. So definitely agree.
Yes.
Well, thank you.
100% agree.
Well, thanks for joining us, Steve. You. Best of luck November 4th. Right? That is Tuesday, November 4th?
That's correct. And early voting is Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday this week.
Oh, there you go.
31st.
There you go. So get out and vote,
thanks
people.
Much, Adam.
Thanks for joining us. We'll be back. News Talk 989, WRD, Voice of the Carolinas. Welcome back to the program. And I referenced earlier when I was talking about the whole issue with really the Islamic invasion, for lack of a better phrase, of the West that we're seeing happening all over. And with this new information that's come out about who is taking advantage of these welfare programs, specifically SNAP, and the shocking revelation that almost all of the top users, if you look at households by ethnicity and where they're from, it's like Afghani, Somali, Iraq. I mean, it's really blatantly Muslim, the top group. And then it's just all sorts of people who have come here from other countries. And legal immigrants are over half of the recipients, the households, over half of their households. Excuse me, I said that incorrectly. Illegal immigrants are the largest percentage. Legal immigrants, half of legal immigrant households are on SNAP benefits. So, I mean, it's shocking. It's scandalous, and it's very, very frustrating to see that. And hearing Mom Dami's father's words that Hitler got his ideas from Abraham Lincoln, and that all of genocide basically around the world was actually originated from America and was sent out from America. These people hate America. There's no question. How could you say that kind of stuff, which is historically false and just stupid and irresponsible? How could you say that if you didn't hate the place you were talking about? And yet this is America's where they choose to come and live. Well, I mentioned there when I was talking about all that, because we were talking about genocide and that came up, a lot of people do not have any clue what has been happening in Nigeria. And it's a tragedy. It should be getting way more coverage from everybody. And so I wanted to play this clip that I found. If you're not aware, over 7,000 Christians in the country of Nigeria in Africa have been murdered this year by Muslims in that country in this mass genocide. And as I mentioned, it's not getting the attention that it should. And here is a Nigerian pastor who, this video's gone very viral, and rightfully so, speaking at this mass grave they've dug, and all these people are kind of thronged around, they're looking down, and he's standing in the grave pointing at all these bodies lined up, just laying in this mass grave, men, women. It's hard to see. It's blurred because it's on X and they don't want to show graphic content. But it's just sickening. And here's what he had to say.
I'm dying to be outside performing burial every day. And the respect of the silence now is an order. Nigerian government cannot openly and deny there is no massacre. There's no genocide of Christians in Nigeria.
And if you look at it's just galling. The government trying to cover it up. 125,000 people over the last decade in Nigeria, Christians slaughtered. It's a tragedy. Pray for Christians in Nigeria. And by the way, let's figure out something to do to help them. Let's stop funding that country and funding these extremists that are murdering people. Genocide didn't come from the U.S. It's always been around in evil people's hearts and minds, and it's actually worldviews that are contrary to ours that are the root of that. Back for much more. We're going to hear from the other candidate in District 21 when we come back. This is Adam Morgan in for Bill Frady, News Talk 98.9 WRD, Voice of the Carolinas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.